গাছে গাছে ভরা গাছে ভরা সাগাছে বোদি স্বাহা। When we leave the noise of the world and we come to this sanctuary, we're focusing on a meditation practice and spending our time in silence, the silence of morning, the silence of the trees, the silence of the snow, the silence of the night. But the real transcendence is when we can silence the mind. Not by strangling it into submission or by beating it until it can't make a peep anymore, but by letting go the ego that is constantly layering experience with noise. So when we transcend even the transcendence of transcendence, that means we're going beyond even this sense of I'm somebody who's meditating. I'm here, I am, I'm a person, I'm a meditator. Even the identification with that, we don't bite it anymore. We're not giving vent to the selfishness, to the egotistical inclinations and habits of the mind. So there's an opportunity to really go beyond worldly ways of being and doing and thinking. And we have to call upon some special qualities to be able to transcend even the transcendence of transcendence. See, if you think that you're somebody transcending anything, this is a real catch-22 here. As soon as the someone is there doing it, there isn't a transcendence because we're not letting go the sense of identifying with being someone doing something rather than just practicing this awareness of life arising in the mind, of experience, of sense consciousness arising and falling away, and watching impersonally without the personal story that we're always tagging or labeling our life with, and then getting caught up again and falling back into whatever we're trying desperately to transcend. But getting beyond this sense of I am anything and going towards the place where we stop that particular pattern. This is the cessation that the Buddha was pointing to. No longer creating the self, no longer wanting what the self, the created self, wants, and allowing that whole process of creating, producing, consuming, and feeding on the self, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, to fall away and to be silent. And when it's silent, then we can really begin to see. See with the eyes of purity. See with a silent and still mind. With the still mind, consciousness can truly know itself. When you're driving your car to the Dharma Center, You have to turn right on Galway Road. You can't go to Kinmount. If you didn't turn right, you wouldn't get here. So that means continuous attention. We were all watching. Where is this place? We didn't know. We had no address. But it so happened we saw a sign and it's turn right. Okay. So we turned. You have to pay so close attention if you're not watching the signposts. It's not choiceless awareness. If it's choiceless awareness, you just let the car take you wherever it goes. You have to make a choice and turn right when the sign says Dharma Center of Canada. So if you're aware of the ingredients that take you away from the world and towards the stopping of the ego from ruling your mind, you have to make wise choices. And you have to navigate. So that means continuous attention. You have to turn your mind away from harmful things and turn your mind towards things that support the path, that support going beyond, transcending beyond that which keeps us imprisoned. That's the meaning of Dharma. Dharma means to hold, or dhr. It's the D-H-R from the Sanskrit. It's the root of Dharma. It means to hold the mind. Holding it in what way? It means holding it to keep us from harm, keep us from harmful things. What happens when we're kept from harmful things? We're protected. So that's two aspects. We're held back from that which harms us, and we're held in safety. We're protected. This is refuge. Refuge. Dharma is refuge. Has any of you ever heard of Rainer Maria Rilke? He's one of my favorite poets. For those of you that like poetry, and those of you that don't, you can patiently listen. Why then have to be human? He asks. Oh, not because happiness exists, nor out of curiosity, but because being here means so much. Being here is not just being in the world as a human being who gets a bit of happiness, but I think what he's saying is being in the Dharma realm, being disciples of the Dharma in the Dharma realm, transcending the worldly happiness for this, being here in this Dharma moment, in this understanding. Because everything here, vanishing so quickly, seems to need us. And strangely, keeps calling to us to pay attention to it. To have been here once, completely, even if only once, to have been at one with the earth. This is beyond undoing. This is beyond undoing. It's pointing us back upon the reality, with a capital R, of this truth that we're eager, yearning to discover. And it's in ourselves. It's here within us. not in the things outside. This meditation is a renewable resource. But if you introduce a little bit of fun into it, smile into it, rejoice that it's not so grim. Shall we try that again? Bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva.
It's like, you know, a little dance. Otherwise, you know, you could, it just become like a dirge. I love chanting. When I was in New Zealand as a solitary nun for 6 years, there were times when I felt very lonely. It's a lonely path, this monastic life. Even if you're surrounded by a whole group of shaven-headed, robe-clad, dedicated practitioners, everyone's doing their own practice. Another person's rejoicing in the Dharma can help you up to a point, but then you have to sit with your own suffering. And it can be grueling. You know, in England they use the word gruel for porridge. We used to have gruel every morning. It's a wonderful breakfast. So grueling has another implication in the UK English. But when you go to nature and chant, I used to walk up and down the beach and chant. I lived in a glorious place, I must say. But even the glories of nature, not enough, not enough. The mind will still produce a dirge. So sometimes when I would feel really like the heaviness of just working day in, day out with the repetitive pattern of what the mind is producing and consuming, like the same old stuff, the same old days, day in and day out, nowhere to go, just being alone, being with oneself. And you can't escape. You can't get involved in worldly delights very much. There's nothing really to chew on anymore. And the mind can get very gray, especially in New Zealand in winter. So walking up and down the freezing cold beach, I would chant my heart out. And sometimes I would, you know, tears would be flowing, and I would chant these chants of praise, like gate, gate. This is a very high aspiration. Para gate, para sangate, the ultimate transcendence. And then there'd be this wail coming out. I don't mean wail at sea. I mean a wail out of my heart. I can't do it. But that's, what is that? It's a negative thought. And then if you remember the wail, you forget the chant. So I had to start over again every time I'd be in the middle of a chant, and I would give vent to that weep or that wail or that whining in the mind. I'd have to start from the beginning. And soon enough, the ocean was so violent, so fierce during those stormy days, that the ocean would give me a different tune. And I couldn't do the dirge anymore. I couldn't wail. It like beat out the wailing in me. It beat it out. So When we're with the elements in an elemental place, this is a very elemental place. It's very hard to get caught up in the mind when you're walking in the snow and it's physically hard work. And you start to just breathe in the whiteness or melt yourself into it. Pretty soon, the purity of the forest, the magnificence or the greatness of the trees will take over your mind. The little whiny mind that's full of negativity or full of desire or wanting to produce some other scenario, anything but this, get me out of here. Because we always want some other future or past moment. Then you start to listen to a song, an ancient song, an ancient chant that takes over your heart and starts to dance in there. And it's so totally healing. Then the result of that is it's possible to really be present. And whatever we had thought we were not going to be able to do, we can do it. Nothing is insurmountable. You never feel alone in that kind of moment. You can feel you're alone, but you never feel lonely. You never desire any company. Suddenly you're with the whole world. And your chant becomes a prayer. And it's not for you alone. It's for everyone. Because being here in this Dharma moment, in this understanding, means so much.